Real Talk Real Muslims is a podcast by two young Muslims who talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of life as a young Muslim today.
Welcome back to Real Talk Real Muslims, a podcast where we share our experiences as first-generation American Muslims and where we aim to connect with other young Muslims to let them know that they are not alone in their struggles. This is Rawan.
And this is Rand.
So guys, we have finally found an indoor recording place, so you will not be hearing birds and hopefully not trains in the background. So shout out to Wired Minds in Greenville, which is a tutoring center, and they let us use their space, and they were very flexible and very kind, and this is amazing for us. We're so happy.
Yeah, and thank you to Barry and Katrina too. And also guys, like, if you need anything that deals with tutoring, you should really come here, because I used to come here and they're really good.
Yeah, for sure. So Greenville people, check them out, they're really awesome. But yeah, how have you been?
I don't know. yeah, I've been fine. Like, I just feel like there's nothing interesting going on. But, like, one thing, I've started doing, like, this online internship, and we have to log into Zoom meetings and do all this stuff online, and I get a pit in my stomach every time before, like, we have to log in or anything, and not just, like, a couple minutes before, but literally the day before, because I'm just not used to talking to other people, and I was telling my cousin, I was like, I just don't know how to interact that well with people anymore because I just, you know, I've been seeing the same people over and over and over again.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like, okay, one other thing that's crazy, because I also have an online internship, and then we also had this, like, online, like, research thing over the summer at my school. And I was thinking, though, it's so weird how much you can get done without ever seeing someone.
Yeah, that's
like true. Without ever, like, physically being in the same room as someone. Like, I feel like before there were so many things that we were like, oh, you know, it would be great if we could meet up with this person or have this event, and doing something virtually was never really as common.
Yeah.
But now, like, when I was doing my internship and we were doing, like, the research, I was so shocked at, like, how you can just, like, successfully execute, like, an event or a program from, like, A to Z just virtually. It was kind of crazy.
No, I think it's really cool, but I also hope that we're not going into that direction, because I don't really like sitting there virtually doing things.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's way better to be in person, but like, when you do need it, I feel like we have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Also, guys, this is not related, but another update from my life is that McDonald's has cookies and they sell them in, like, totes. So if anyone wants really, really good cookies, go to McDonald's and get cookies. They're so good.
Shad's Rowan's sister, she sent me a picture of them yesterday. They look really good.
They're so good. And they come in, like, a box. You can just sit there and eat a box of cookies during your Zoom meetings. Turn your video off.
Yeah.
I feel like, oh, you know what? On, like, Zoom, though, like, when you turn your video off, I feel like that's, like, the virtual way of checking out of a meeting. Like, when your video is off, it means, like, you're not really there.
Okay, so let me tell you. With my getting a pit in my stomach, I also start sneezing. Like, I'm over here, every time I log into a meeting or something, I start sneezing and just, like, coughing. And, like, I'm over here dying, okay? And I swear I have allergies from the Zoom meetings. Like, it's every time it happens. Next time it happens, I'm going to text you and be like, I'm sneezing again.
Yeah, we used to have Zoom meetings at 7:30 a.m. for the research thing I was talking about. And I would always have my Zoom video off for the first 5 minutes because I was like, I just need, like, a moment to like, learn how to talk to people this early in the morning. And I would also make my coffee from 7:30 during the meeting. That's the one thing I'm gonna miss, is, like, being able to, like, get dressed during your meeting, or, like, show up to your meeting in your pajamas and no one knows you're in your PJs.
Yeah, just dressed from the top and not from the,
exactly.
I actually did that. We had an award ceremony at school, and I was just dressed from the top. And then I thought I turned the camera off, and I turned around, and, like, everyone saw my, you know, house pants. It was so embarrassing. I wanted to leave. I was like, I'm not going to graduation anymore.
That's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yikes. I feel like the whole, like, Zoom online world, though, is kind of, I feel like, what made us think more about, like, our episode for today, and just kind of thinking more about, like, the online world and, like, the media and stuff like that, because that's what our episode is about today. So I'm really excited to talk about it, and I feel like it's very relevant, especially now, because we're consuming so much online media, being at home all the time. So today's episode is about Muslims in the media, and I'm super excited, so let's jump right in.
Yeah, me too. And also, I feel like this episode's really important just because when Ramon and I started researching it, we just saw that you know, like, the media that we consume is so important to our daily lives and, like, the choices that we make and stuff like that. So you're right. It is an important topic.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like, okay, so with Muslims in the media, I feel like there's two things. First, I feel like there's the outside non-Muslim world, like how the non-Muslim world portrays us. Mm-hmm. And then there's also like Muslim media, like within, like we have Muslim YouTubers, Muslim, like famous celebrities, like online and stuff like that. But I feel like the first thing is the outside non-Muslim world and kind of how they represent us. And I feel like the first thing is that there's just like a huge lack of representation of Muslims in the media today.
Yeah, I totally agree with the fact that there is a huge lack of Muslim representation in the media. And when you sit and think about it, like of the shows that got really popular, I think one of them would be like Rami.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys have watched it, but I've watched a couple of episodes. And that's like one of them. And when, you know, people watch it, they're like, oh my God, like Muslim representation, like, you know, whatever. And then the other one is Hala, whatever it was. It was like a movie about this like Muslim girl. She was hijabi. And I just felt like it's very few. And I feel like it's very important for Muslims to feel represented in the, you know, films or whatever. But both of those were like, I don't know, I had very mixed feelings about them, especially like Rami, because I was like, I don't understand if this show is for like Muslims to feel represented or is it just for like, I didn't understand the show.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was starting to watch it, I felt like, you know, I didn't feel really good about it. And then I decided to, you know, just like watch some of why he made the show and just like interviews with him. And his whole point in that show was to like humanize Muslims. It's not like he clearly states in his like own social media and in the interviews that the show is not representative of all Muslims and the show isn't, you know, about everyone, and that it's to humanize Muslims in the media, because like when we see any Muslim or like Arab or whatever in the shows or whatever, they're like always the terrorist or like,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's like ISIS and all this stuff. So I guess it made me feel a little bit better about the show.
Yeah. I feel like in general, that show is very controversial in the Muslim community. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people on Twitter like debating it too and just talking about kind of like the positives and the negatives. And I agree. I think that like in his interviews, he talks more about like how the show isn't really for Muslims. It's more for non-Muslims to see. And I know one of the big kind of like controversies around his show is that he talks about like a lot of like taboo topics, mm-hmm. like hijab and like drugs and drinking and like a lot of other things that I feel like are really taboo in our community, but they're issues in our community, whether people like to admit them or not.
Yeah.
But I think that's one thing that made it controversial is people felt like that wasn't representation of them. And yeah, I agree. I don't think he ever claimed that he was representing all Muslims,
mm-hmm.
but I think one thing is that because Rami is one of the only shows out there with like a Muslim main character, a Muslim cast about Muslim life, mm-hmm. it becomes like the token insert Muslim show,
mm-hmm.
and people watch it and start to think that they understand what your life is like, which for me, I didn't feel like I felt my life was represented in Rami, which again, wasn't really like his aim, but I think for a lot of people, they might also feel the same. And then especially when like I have white friends that come up to me and they've been like, oh my God, I watched Rami, like it was so representative, like I totally understand the Muslim experience now.
Yeah.
And that made me feel like really uncomfortable because I was like, that's not like my experience and that's not necessarily something I go through every day. I don't know if you felt the same way.
No, I totally felt the same way. And the thing is, I just felt like, yeah, he did focus on those topics. And I guess I'm glad that he did, just to show, I guess, not even the youth, because the youth go through that and they don't not say, oh, we don't go through that.
Yeah.
But just to show the adults in our community that the youth is struggling with these topics. Like, he talks about porn addictions. Like, I don't think the adults in our community feel comfortable talking about that. And the fact that there are a lot of Muslim youth that are addicted to porn and to drugs and that are struggling with their hijabs and things like that. So I guess it's like a good conversation starter if like communities want to start talking about those things and just like seeing that they are a problem in our community. But the way that they were portrayed were very, like, it was very exaggerated, I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that was the negative part of it. And I felt like there was a lot of Hollywood influence, which if I wanted to watch a show that represented me, I would like it to be very just similar to like everyday life and what, you know, Muslim youth do go through on the daily basis, not just, oh, you know, the most extreme parts of our lives.
Yeah, for sure. And I think also, you know, we see kind of these same themes and these same problems, again, from our perspective as Muslim Americans, in the movie Hala, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
But she kind of just, like, struggles to balance, like, all of these different aspects of her life. And I think you know more specifics about the movie, too.
Well, I just, you know, I didn't, like, watch it. I just read about it. But, yeah, she's, like, a hijabi girl. She falls in love with this white guy. Then, like, she's struggling. Then her dad has an affair. And then she, like, starts having, I guess, this relationship with her English teacher. And then at the end of the show, she takes off her hijab. And I feel like every time a character takes off their hijab, they're just portrayed as, oh, like, I'm such a hero and I figured out my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it doesn't seem like a weak moment to them. It's just, I feel like at the end they're portrayed as a weak character, but when they take off their hijab, that's, like, their moment to shine.
Yeah. I hate how that's, like, always a thing in movies and in shows and anything. I saw this TikTok and it was this girl, and you know how people do those TikToks where mm-hmm. they're like, what I would wear if I was yeah. a, and then they have different characters like in shows or whatever. I saw a girl that said what I would wear if I was a Muslim girl in a show, and she like put herself at the beginning, and then when she flipped to like the video part of her like wearing what she would wear if she was in the show, she put her younger sister who doesn't wear hijab.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she makes a great point, and something that I totally see in a lot of like portrayals of Muslim women who wear hijab is that they're always taking off their hijab to do whatever they need to do in the show. Even in Grey's Anatomy, there's a doctor that wears hijab,
mm-hmm.
and at one point she takes off her hijab to save a patient, which if in some random scenario that ever happened, like whatever, you know, but was that really necessary? Like, why mm-hmm. couldn't she just be a woman who's a doctor, who wears hijab, who does her job well and is part of the show?
Yeah, like there's no need for that dramatic moment.
Yeah, and I think it's definitely like subtly trying to perpetuate this like Western narrative that Muslim women are oppressed by their hijab and mm-hmm. that the hijab limits you, which is why they make all their characters take off their hijab. Like as a doctor, like if you wear hijab, like you're not limited in any way by wearing the hijab and being a doctor. Like we've interviewed like doctors on this show before who wear hijab and are Muslim, and they haven't been limited in any way. And I feel like every show just tries to portray that same image, and they do it really subtly. Mm-hmm. Like in Grey's Anatomy, they're like, oh, she's a hero, like she's saving someone. But I feel like subtly it's like just kind of recreating this like horrible narrative that Muslim women are oppressed.
Mm-hmm. Like she can do things, but without that piece of cloth at the end. You know?
Exactly. And they don't do it directly because they don't want us to be like calling them out on it, but they do it indirectly and in a way where people will applaud them for it. I remember mm-hmm. when that scene came out, everyone was like, wow, did you see that? And literally all my white friends, again, were coming up to me and telling me about it. And it's just so problematic.
And I think just with everything, like, these shows get blown up so much,
mm-hmm.
and that's why you see people that agree with it. I feel like these types of shows are either you love it or you hate it, and there's no in-between, just because, like, for Rami, I watched a bunch of, like, interviews, and there was, like, I guess he's a sheikh or something, and he just, like, sat there and dissected it, and they were saying, like, you know, Rami is more inappropriate than the Game of Thrones. I don't know if the Game of Thrones is inappropriate, but like, and they were just saying that it's a fitna to our community and all this stuff. So especially with his second season, that's why he came out and he was like, okay, everyone like needs to calm down. Like obviously you can have opinions, but this is not meant to be like, this is not meant to be instead of scholars, which I actually really respected him when he did that, because even on his Instagram, he was like, you know, the show is not telling you what's right and what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And he listed, like, a bunch of resources of, like, you know, scholars that are well-known in the Muslim community and, like, the American Muslim community. And he was like, you know, here's Omar Suleiman, like, Yasmin Mujahid, and all these people. And he was like, go get your resources from them and not from the show. This is just, like, what I've been through or what I've seen my friends go through.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's an important distinction, and it's the responsibility of the content creator to mm-hmm. really spread that message. And I do think that, yeah, I did have a lot of respect for him for coming out and saying that, because yeah, it's definitely a message that I think the Muslim community needed to hear. And also I think something that non-Muslims need to hear is like, this is not your education about Islam. It shouldn't be, because a lot of the show was also bring in different cultural things, mm-hmm. which we did an episode about, kind of like that line between culture and religion. And so I think it, again, for someone who is maybe not super educated, they might think that this is their, like, a good representation of Muslims and what is in our faith. But again, this isn't like a good source for Islamic knowledge for anyone who's interested in learning about Islam or for Muslims themselves.
Yeah. And that's why I think it was really, like, cool of him to put those resources out so it could direct Muslims to the right places. And I feel like especially for Muslims that are living in the United States, but in cities or states that are not that full of Muslims,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes I think it's really important to see Muslim representation, especially when you don't have a lot of Muslims around you, so that you can at least feel that connection. But if that's the only show that you have, then that connection, I don't feel, is very strong.
Yeah. I know, like, in a lot of other big cities, like, in America that have super high Muslim populations, like, Dearborn, Michigan is mm-hmm. super high, like, Chicago, like, New York, like, Brooklyn, stuff like that. There's a ton of Muslims there. And even, like, when people are walking around there, like, if you visit those cities, like, you'll see women that wear hijab. And I feel like in myself, I'm like, oh my God, look. And then everyone else doesn't even think anything of it. But here, for example, like in Greenville, like there's not a lot of Muslims in South Carolina. So when we walk around and if I see a Muslim, I definitely know them, first of all, yeah. because it's such a small community. But also I'm like, oh my God, like, look, look, look. Like, I guess we get more excited to see other Muslims because yeah, we don't definitely. Really see ourselves represented anywhere, like not in the workplace, not in the classroom, not in the media. So it's really important for people like us, especially because we aren't surrounded by a ton of Muslims every day.
Yeah, I mean, even like when you go to the big cities, you can tell that they're like fed up with seeing yes. so many Muslims. Because like, you know, you'll be walking around and be like, salam, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes people won't reply to you. And
I'm yes. just
like,
that's so okay. weird. Guys, I saw this, we were talking about this on Twitter, like, I saw that someone had tweeted that, you know, a lot of hijabis, like, when you say hi to them, or you say mm-hmm. salam to them, they don't say salam back, and, someone, like, commented, like, one of my friends, and was like, yeah, it's almost like they don't want people to know that they're Muslim, and they wear hijab, like, I swear, I feel like that's because, again, you're right, they're fed up with seeing so many Muslims, and mm-hmm. it's just, like, normal to them, yeah. but for me, I'm like, oh my God, and I'm like, let's stop and talk to them.
Especially if you haven't seen them before, because you're like, oh my God, someone new joined our community.
Yeah, exactly. How exciting. Yeah, but one thing I think that, you know, see how we're like, oh, we think wearing the hijab and, like, seeing other Muslims is such a good thing, and, like, generally, I feel like we embrace, like, a lot of aspects of our identity, even, like, the bad parts and the ugly parts and, like, the difficult parts that come with it.
Yeah.
But the thing is about these shows and about the media is that they always portray us as, like, running away from our religion and, mm-hmm. like, our life is so horrible and hard because we hate, like, the quote-unquote constraints of our religion. And I just feel like that's not accurate.
Yeah. I feel like it's, like, we're just ready to rebel. And I think if they would just portray it correctly, like, say that we do have those struggles, we do have identity struggles, we do struggle with our hijab, but at the end of the day, we're working to, like, improve on that, and it's not because we hate our religion, but we're just trying to improve, and we're not trying to run away from it, or, like, take off our hijabs, or, you know, do all these things that are haram, or have, like, terrible relationships with our parents, because that's also portrayed a lot in those shows where, like, their parents are suffocating them and all this stuff. And I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It's not representative.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, I think you and I have met, like, a lot of young Muslims, like, in our life so far. And I would say the overwhelming majority of Muslims that I have met are very proud of their identity, are, like, people who genuinely love their religion, and, like, there's no, like, compulsion in Islam, you know? Like, yeah. people really believe in our faith, and they believe in its practices, and they see how beneficial it can make they are to your life and how good of a life you can have mm-hmm. by, like, following Islam. And, like, obviously this is something we do because Allah is commanding us to do it. And that's, like, the overwhelming majority of Muslims that I've met. And then in the media, it's always like, yeah, you're running away. You're being pressured. You hate your life. And I wish we were just portrayed as people who have normal struggles, who are overcoming them just like any other human being, like, has struggles with their identity and with other things. And a lot of times these struggles aren't caused by Islam. They're caused by the fact that we're, like, a minority religion living in a Christian majority country, you know?
Even, like, from our own cultures, a lot of these problems come out too. And, you know, another thing that we see, okay, like, even this is kind of off topic, but even on TikTok, you see a very, like, divided portrayal of Muslims, because, like, you know, there's, like, Muslim TikTok, and then there's everyone that's like, oh my god, yeah, like, wifey or whatever, and then there's this, like, a bunch of other people that are just actually trying to talk about, like, the struggles that Muslims go through, and, like, as youth, and just trying to steer people into the right direction, and then there's, like, people that are like, yeah, this is how I dress in front of my parents, and this is how I dress outside of the house. You know, a bunch of people watch these, and, like, you're being, like, you're representing Muslims, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't try to.
Yeah. I thought it was one of the hard things about being a young Muslim today, and especially in America, because I don't think people in Muslim-majority countries necessarily experience this, but you feel like you represent your mm-hmm. faith, and you represent Islam, mm-hmm. whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a good thing, and I think it's a big emotional and mental burden. But I think whether you like it or not, because you are such a minority, a lot of people, like me and Jen, like, grew up in the South, and a lot of people, I've met so many people that are like, you're the first Muslim I've ever met in my entire life, you know? So naturally people will use us as their image of Muslims, and will be representative of Muslims to them, even if that's not necessarily accurate. So I think we do carry, like, a big responsibility, you know, like, being in the media as a Muslim, like, it's a good thing, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
To an extent, but you do carry a responsibility, and I think we need to be more careful than others as to how we represent ourselves, how we represent our values and our views of our faith.
Yeah. You actually reminded me of something, because every time, like, I'm driving and I really want to, like, honk and be rude to people, then I remember that I'm wearing my hijab and people are going to know I'm Muslim, so I'm like, okay, I'm just going to be nice, like, because maybe I'm the only Muslim that they've met. So it's right. Like, we do have this responsibility. And even, like, when we go to rallies or whatever, people are like, oh my God, like, Muslims. And then they come up and speak to you and, like, all this stuff, which you're not asking for any of it. Like, you're not over here auditioning to be, like, a Muslim figure or whatever. But you are kind of, in your communities, you are.
Yeah. And it's a two-sided coin, you know? Like, a lot of people see the maybe one or two Muslims they've met in their life as representative of all Muslims, because they haven't met that many Muslims. But then if you flip that coin, that's also why we need more representation in the media, because we need more representation in the media so people don't think of us like that, because then they'll be like, oh yeah, I've seen, like, a bunch of Muslims in the media. I know that you guys are, like, a very diverse group of people. Some people are more religious than others. Some people are mm-hmm. more, like, emphasize their culture more. And I think that's why we need more representation.
I also think it's very important, like we said before, because we have such a diverse group of, like, how we're represented in each state and each city and stuff like that. Because when I first started coming to the masjid, even though it was, like, when I was really young, I think I was in, like, second grade or something, I used to think that the Muslims around me were very, like, weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, these people are, like, really religious. They probably don't do anything normal in their lives. And I feel like it's because the only Muslims that I knew were my family, and they were, like, very open and on the cultural side. And then everyone else at the masjid was just, like, you know, pray and, like, I don't know, you didn't get to know them that well. So I feel like even for youth that are not just, like, you know, teenagers, even for people that are younger, they need to have that as well, just to see that there's a balance in religion and that not everything is just, like, praying, but also, like, learning how to figure out other aspects of life too.
Mm-hmm. And I think Islam can inform a lot of those other aspects of mm-hmm. your life. Like, honestly, I think the one thing that people are always like, oh, like, tell me about Islam. Like, I always say that it's, like, a way of life, and a lot of Muslims say this.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to kind of use it to guide our life decisions, and also to, like, to not be ashamed of our religion, or to feel like we have to compromise on our values. Like, with all these shows that we've been talking about, I feel like, and with TikTok and Instagram and so many places that you see Muslims today, like, I feel like I see a lot of people who compromise on their values just to try to fit into Western culture. Not even because, like, they want to do these things. It's just because they're trying to fit in, and because they want to do what the people around them are doing. And I think that this is another harmful narrative that has been perpetuated by Western media, that mm-hmm. in order to fit in order to be cool, in order to be on, like, the right side of, like, pop culture, like, whatever, you have to kind of follow everyone else. And a lot of times I see, especially with Muslim youth, people are, like, compromising on their values just to fit in with the society around them. And even not with youth, even with adults too. My mom was telling me about how we were watching this, like, interview of this Egyptian actor, and he was talking about how he doesn't like to act in any roles where he has to, like, have an inappropriate relationship with, like, a woman who's, like, not related to him or something like that. He doesn't like to do any roles where he has to do something that he feels is haram.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, like, I only like to do roles where I feel like I'm not acting in any way. That's not haram. That's not halal, excuse me. And a lot of other actors were, like, hating on him. Like, Muslim Egyptian actors, like, from his own faith, from his own culture. And were saying, like, you're too narrow-minded. Like, you're so, you know, unwilling to, like, open your mind to other things. And they're basically telling him that he's wrong. But honestly, I really respected him for saying that, because especially in the world of, like, acting and films and stuff like that, like, it's very hard to avoid those kinds of things, especially given, like, how common they are now. But also that a lot of times, like, you might get hate from your own community for being a certain way, you know? Like, we have this idea that, like, you're too halal for your haram friends and too haram for your halal friends.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to get hate for whatever you do, like, whether you're quote-unquote too religious or quote-unquote too open. So you might as well just, like, learn what your values are, believe in them, and act on them without compromising them for people around you.
Yeah, and I think, like, I was listening to this podcast, and so it was, like, a very open question type of thing. So one of the questions was, do you think we as Muslims should start accepting and normalizing premarital
relationships?
And they were like, yeah, we should. And then she was like, no. And then she was like, yeah. And then she was like, you know, people should just do whatever they want. And I think, like, okay, first of all, it's not even about what you feel right about, because, like, obviously in Islam it says it's wrong. And obviously if you have premarital relationships with someone and then, like, you repent, like, whatever, it's fine. And I don't think that's what the question was about. I just think the question was about, should we as Muslims just, like, normalize it? Because, you know, it's normalized in American culture, like, everyone just does whatever they want. But yeah, we shouldn't be compromising our values. But also I feel like as Muslims, even in our countries, like, we just try to go to this path where we're, like, very westernized, and we portray Muslims as very, like, modern and open-minded, and we can be modern and open-minded without, you know, doing all these haram things that we're not supposed to be doing. And obviously I'm not saying that we don't do haram things and, like, people don't make mistakes, but making a mistake is different than just normalizing it and pushing people to do things.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not our job to tell people, like, you know, whether you're going to be forgiven for a mistake or not. Like, no one can say that except Allah, obviously. But yeah, I just hate that this narrative is something that's being pushed on us, and you're almost, like, looked down upon for trying to say, like, no, I'm not going to, like, compromise on my values. And even, like, people that are in my, like, personal life have, like, told me that sometimes, like, why are you being so, like, one way or whatever?
Yeah.
And it's just, like, frustrating to see that that hate can come from the Muslim community sometimes. And once I was participating in a panel, and it was with a bunch of, like, different people from different religions.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions was how your faith views the LGBTQ community and LGBTQ, like, homosexuality and stuff like that in your faith. And I remember before the panel, I was, like, super stressed because I knew this was going to be a question. And I was talking to my dad about it, and you know, I was like, I'm really stressed. Like, in Islam, like, homosexuality is, like, not permissible. Like, you know, you're not allowed to, like, act on those, like, thoughts, even if you are having them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, worried about saying that because I guess I just, like, was worried about kind of, like, what people were going to say about it and, like, in the audience. And then I remember my dad was just like, listen, he was like, if it's something you believe, like, it's part of your religion, he's like, and you believe it, like, say it. Like, you shouldn't be afraid of what people are going to say about you, and you shouldn't compromise your values just because you want to come across as a certain way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, like, this isn't, we're not saying, like, go around and, like, hurt or harm other people, like, ever.
Yeah.
Like, that's not at all what we're saying, but we're saying it's something that in our religion, like, we don't agree with, like, and we don't view it as a permissible lifestyle to have.
Yeah.
And everyone does what they want, and Allah will be the judge of them at the end of the day. But I remember I was, like, so nervous going in, and then when I heard that, it just gave me so much confidence because I was like, okay, like, I'm going to go in, like, this is my belief, and, like, I'm going to say it, and everyone up here is proudly saying their beliefs, so, like, why am I afraid to say mine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
As long as I'm not causing harm to anyone else,
yeah.
I'm just stating my opinion. And I feel like that was, like, a really big moment, like, for me in just kind of, like, my life and in, like, my perspective on my faith was recognizing that, like, at the end of the day, if it's something I believe, then, like, I need to, like, genuinely and wholeheartedly not be afraid of it. And that's what I feel like. You know those t-shirts that are, like, unapologetic Muslim American, like, the somewhat, like, mass ikna conventions and stuff like that? And I used to always kind of, like, wonder, like, okay, like, why do we say that? Like, what does that really mean? And to me, being unapologetic is kind of, like, what I just described, you know? Like, not being afraid to say your values in fear of not coming across a certain way or not fitting in with the Western society around you. And that was like a really big lesson for me.
I think that was a big lesson for me right now, because I always have a problem with answering that question. I'm like, because you know, there's, especially now, like everything's going around and you're just like labeled so fast about everything. Like if you do one thing, you're homophobic or like you're racist or you're this. And I just think obviously it's different for each topic, but you know, you're canceled so quick for whatever you believe.
Yes.
And I saw this thing about like the LGBTQ community and how like if your religion doesn't support it, like you should just like don't talk about your opinion, because this is actually how people are living their lives and like you're gonna hurt other people. But the same thing, like, you shouldn't be compromising what you think. And it's not like you're going around and saying, you know, don't practice your lifestyle like this or don't do this or don't do that. But it's like when someone asks you what you think about it, this is what you think. So that's what you should say. And also, it's because, you know, if you're going to raise the next Muslim generation, you're going to tell them, like, this is not how we roll, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously, it's their choice at the end how they decide to live their life. But you just teach them what Islam says and then they can do whatever.
Yeah. And I think you brought up a great point that people are canceled very quickly. Mm-hmm. And like there's this idea of cancel culture. Like a lot of it is on social media, especially among like millennials, Gen Z, like kind of our age. People like every time someone makes a mistake in saying something, we immediately cancel them. We're like, okay, like you suck, like you're out, like whatever. Mm-hmm. And one of my friends actually posted this on her Instagram story recently and was asking people to give their opinions on cancel culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a very fine line between you having views that are harmful and like can actually hurt other people versus you making a mistake in talking about something and realizing your mistake, learning from it, admitting it, and growing. And I think that cancel culture doesn't really make that distinction. Mm-mm. I think we're so quick to just cancel anyone and we don't distinguish between, okay, who actually has like really harmful views and who's actually hurting our society and hurting marginalized communities. And then who's someone who has genuine intentions, who made a mistake. And it's very difficult. And I think that's why we don't make the distinction, because it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort, and it takes pausing in a moment of anger and in a moment of disagreement and frustration and talking to someone that you don't agree with. And I think that's why cancel culture can be so harmful today.
And I was listening to this thing, and Trevor Noah and this other lady were talking about it, and she had made a mistake like 10 years ago, and she was like, if someone had canceled me then, I wouldn't be doing the work that I'm doing now, because at that point in her life she wasn't educated about the stuff that she was talking about, and she took the time to educate herself, and then she came back and she's doing great things. And I also feel like it's putting a lot of pressure on people. Like, sometimes I feel like that's why people are scared to speak up about specific topics that they're really passionate about. It's because they don't want to be perceived as some negative thing. And I think it's also, like, you know, kind of encouraging people to just, like, stay silent than to be, like, canceled and hated by a bunch of people.
Yeah. And even with a lot of, like, the recent social media movements surrounding, like, the Black Lives Matter movement and things like that, like every time a new quote unquote social media movement would start within like surrounding like racial justice and social justice in the past few weeks, I would always see someone like immediately after tweet out or Instagram about how this kind of social media movement is problematic. And if you post this, you're dumb. And if you post this, you're insensitive. And again, I think we need to like be very careful when we cancel things like that so quickly, because sometimes people aren't educated about a topic and they want to use the momentum of, you know, a big movement on social media to express that they agree with something. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they can't do that in their own original words or with their own original image or whatever. And I just saw so many people that were like, if you post this kind of thing, then you're insensitive and you don't really understand and you're not really advocating for it.
And you're just like saying this stuff so that you don't seem like you're racist and all this stuff.
Exactly. And yeah, I just think we need to like stop that and we need to be kinder, because a lot of times it also feels like someone's calling you out. Like I would share something and then like one of my friends would like share something about how exactly what I just shared is problematic and is wrong. And not that I was sharing something that was, like, genuinely problematic. Like, it was racist. It was, like, part of the, like, racial justice, social justice movement. And I thought it was something I wanted to share. And people were so quick to call each other out that, honestly, sometimes I found myself just being like, okay, maybe I shouldn't say anything.
No, I did that a lot because there were, like, two things that went on and everyone was just, like, calling people out and, like, all these stories. And then I was just like, maybe I just step back and listen. Like, people don't know when you share something, they don't know what your intention is. So they should just not talk about it. Like, if it's, like, not problematic and you feel like you're doing something right to add to the movement or whatever is going on, then I don't think it's anyone's, like, I don't know who they think they are just going up there and just, like, blasting everyone for something that they thought was right. So, like, maybe you should, if you see your friend doing that and you think it's, like, wrong or not adding to the movement or something like that, maybe message them privately, even if it's, like, a lot of friends. But, like, just blasting people and being negative and kind of, like, trolly isn't, I don't think it's the way to go.
It's really unhelpful, yeah. One of my friends, I will not take credit for this because this is very, I think, well said and profound. My friend Will Galloway, we have, like, a book club where we talk about kind of this book called So You Want to Talk About Race. And he said something so profound last week when we were meeting for our book club. And he said, we judge ourselves by our intentions, but we judge others by their actions. Mm-hmm. And I have, like, that was so well said when he said it. I remember everyone in the book club was like, oh my God, wow, that's so good. Because it really is, like, we judge ourselves by our intentions. And that's how we want to be judged. Not just as people, but in Islam, we say that Allah judges our intentions. And we kind of take that as, like, that's like a mercy from Allah that we're judged by our intentions. Because a lot of times, the reason that we are judged by our intentions is because a lot of times our actions don't pan out the way we wanted them to. Like, you might have a good intention to start an initiative in your community, but sometimes you might be, for example, excluding certain voices that need to be part of it. So your actions could come across as problematic and people will immediately come to cancel you, but your intentions were good. You intended to make a positive difference. You intended to make your community more inclusive. So I think that it's just something we really need to think about. It's like, and it's very hard to do. It's very hard to judge others by their intentions because we don't necessarily know what they are. And I don't know if there's a way to really find out. But I think one way we can start is by, like, giving people benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Especially now, especially when our generation is leading such a powerful time in the world through media. Mm-hmm. Like, media is so crucial right now. And we're leading a time where I really think, like, the whole world is changing for the better.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to do so in a way that is, like, kind towards those, I think, that deserve kindness, that are genuinely just trying to learn.
Yeah.
And to not be so quick to, like, cut people out and judge them based on the outcomes versus what they initially intended to do.
Mm-hmm. That's so powerful.
You know, I think this kind of brings us into how we as Muslims also treat each other,
which
tends to not be very good. Like, there's a lot of Muslims in the media from kind of within our communities. Like, we're not relying on external sources to represent us. There's a lot of Muslim YouTubers, a lot of bloggers, business owners, things like that, and they have a huge social media presence or on YouTube or something. And I see this a lot with Muslim women in the media, is we don't treat them very kindly and we're not very considerate of their feelings. Especially with Muslim YouTubers, there's been recent discussions about how a lot of Muslim YouTubers who wear hijab are taking off their hijabs. And we kind of aren't considerate of their feelings because you'll see people immediately start to, like, literally, like, cuss them out in the comments, like, troll them.
You're going to hell. Like,
yeah, like, people are, like, suddenly become God, like, in the comments, which I don't understand. And it's just so interesting to see how people's perspective of someone changes because of something like that. And something that we as humans don't have, like, we're not allowed to judge people for that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, hijab is, like, a requirement in Islam, but you can't force someone to wear the hijab. Like, you choose whether you want to follow parts of Islam or not. And if you decide not to, it's not up to humans to judge you for that. And I just see so many women, Muslim women, get hate from the Muslim community for doing different things. And the standards that we hold Muslim women to in the media are not the same that we hold Muslim men to in the media. And if you literally just YouTube and watch, like, immediately get into the Muslim side of YouTube, you will recognize this immediately.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, like, with those hijabi influencers, even if they're specializing in fashion, let's say, they're just very, like, people just look at them as role models. And especially if they're wearing hijab, that just, it's such a, like, it's a part of your identity, even if they don't want it to, but it just becomes such a big part in their platforms where when they take off the hijab, people are like, okay, yeah, they got whatever they wanted out of the hijab and they're done. Even if they've been wearing the hijab for such a long time, even before they started their platforms, they just, like, they're just very quick to judge. And I think we should really step back and think about that. And I just saw, like, a lot of reaction videos about these Muslims, like, taking off their hijab by other Muslims. Yesterday, I watched one, and it was just, like, very negative, very, like, yeah. Like, she in the video said, women who wear hijab are better than women who don't. And I was like, I don't think that's how it is, because
that's not anything any human can determine.
Yeah, exactly. No human can determine that. And also, you don't know the intention of why people are wearing the hijab, why people took off the hijab. And you don't know, like, you can be wearing hijab, but you're not a practicing Muslim and you're just wearing it. Mm-hmm. Maybe because it's part of your culture, or, like, you've been forced to wear it or something like that. And I just don't think we should be, you know, discussing people's intentions and why they do things. And also, there was this other article about, like, how much they've monetized their platforms and stuff like that, and that it's part of, like, a movement, and they're all taking it off to encourage, like, the youth to not wear hijab, and it's, like, a fitna and all this stuff. And I'm like, why does everyone just, like, look so closely into things and not just think that these people are humans and they're struggling? Because hijab is such a hard thing to do. Like, I struggle with my hijab all the time. Like, I've thought about taking it off multiple times, okay? And, you know, you don't know what those people are going through. And especially when you're not living in a Muslim country, like, everyone looks at you differently when you're wearing hijab, and some people can't handle that.
Yeah, and I think it's just interesting how we tend to look at these people as religious scholars when they never claim to be.
Yeah.
I'm like, fashion bloggers who wear hijab never claim to be religious scholars. And our Muslim community tends to look at women who wear hijab as perfect and as infallible. And that is not the case at all. If you decide to wear the hijab, like, you're just trying to fulfill another aspect of your religion. But that doesn't mean you're going to be a perfect person. And I've seen a lot of women that wear hijab who, like, do things that are clearly, like, against our religion in other ways. And I've seen a lot of women who don't wear hijab who, like, dress extremely modestly and who follow Islam in a very, like, particular way, and they just, like, haven't gotten to the point where they're wearing the hijab.
And, you know, another thing, this is not only on, like, hijabi blogger social media type of thing, it's also in our own communities. And we talked about this in our very second episode with Amon Meyer, where he was telling us, like, you know, when, like, people in the community see that someone's wearing a hijab, they're very, like, hesitant to go up and talk to her because they think, oh, like, she's this religious person that, you know, is very, like, standoffish and things like that. So, like, we see it right here in our communities again.
Yeah. I also don't like how a lot of humans decide that they're suddenly, like, have godly powers to judge other people and to tell other people what they should be doing. Because a lot of times on YouTube, for some God knows why reason, there are a lot of men making videos about why Muslim women are taking off their hijabs and their thoughts on it. And I just wanted to say, like, it's not your job to comment on why they're wearing hijab or to give your views on why Muslim women are taking off their hijab or putting on the hijab or dressing a certain way, because you're not God and that's not your job. And also, a lot of these men are quote-unquote religious and have religious-based channels, or even worse, they're not religious and they do a lot of things that are clearly haram and they're very proud of it and they boast it, and then they go and talk about how haram it is for Muslim women to take off their hijabs. Yeah.
And they never said that they were religious scholars, by the way. Like, all these Muslim women that are hijabi bloggers or YouTubers or whatever, they're doing it for like, fashion, how to do modest fashion, and they are, like, encouraging the Muslim youth to dress you know, modestly and how they can style pieces with their hijab. But they never said, oh, like, get all your religious information from me, follow me, if I take off my hijab you do it too. Like, no one said that.
Yeah. Additionally, I think we need to be careful about who we view as role models, and, like, we loosely toss around the term role models. I, like, actually hate that term, and when people, like, in interviews are like, who's your role model? Like, I don't like that, because I'm like, I don't think a human should be your role model, because they're bound to make mistakes. And when you view someone as your role model, you kind of tend to put them on a pedestal, and you either excuse mistakes that they're making, or you tend to might kind of want to follow them.
And I think we also do this in the Muslim community with celebrity sheikhs, like sheikhs in the media. A lot of like imams are like famous on social media and stuff like that. And they do share a lot of good Islamic content, but we really need to differentiate between like the Islamic content and the Islamic knowledge that they're giving us and them as a person. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times people, again, will idolize this person and like figuratively speaking, of course, and say that they're perfect and, you know, be like, wow, like I want to be just like them. And then a lot of times you'll find that these religious figures might do something that, you know, is Islamically impermissible or make a mistake like a mm-hmm. human, and it kind of lets people down. And I think we just need to be really careful about that.
Yeah, and I think that's why people shouldn't have that high of expectations for humans in general with everything, because they're bound to let you down. But yeah, I just think that's why it's super important to just be very careful about what we're listening to. And it's not only, you know, YouTube or like from religious scholars, it's from everything, like everything around us. Anything you hear, you need to sit down and be like, what do I think about this? Because I feel like also with the media, there's a lot of shoving down your throat and like kind of subtly wanting you to believe this and whatever. And I feel like I've been, I guess, a victim of that, because sometimes if I see something in the media and if someone like, I guess, respectful or I think is respectful, I'm just like, yeah, I believe it. And then I won't think about it, but then it might be problematic or whatever.
Yeah, I was once talking to, I think it was like a classmate of mine, and they like really opened my eyes to this idea of not just like in the media, but in our life in general, we are taught to kind of like nod along when people are talking. Like when I was in third grade, we used to have this like poster of this like cartoon character, and it was like, his name was Simon, I think. It was like Model Simon. Basically, the poster was telling you how you should act in the classroom, like a quote-unquote good student. And one of the things on the poster, I always remember this, was like, you should nod when the teacher is talking. And I think that's like very problematic that we teach people to do stuff like that, because we just teach them to listen to anyone in any position of power and to not question what we're hearing. But I think that one of the best like critical thinking skills that we can adopt as a generation is to like critically think about everything that we're being told, whether it be from even like your own family members. Like sometimes your family members, like we've talked about this in previous episodes, have racist or problematic or even things that are like not halal. It might be something in their culture. They have like bad views that we need to question. And similarly, when you're in class, like I know a lot of people that listen to our podcast are like college age or like in grad school or like going to college. So like when you think about it, like you're sitting in these rooms with people who have degrees and who we, again, put on a pedestal and view as role models or whatever. Like, we really need to think about what they're saying and make sure that we're not just nodding along to anyone around us, whether it be in person or in the media, and that we're critically thinking about it and what kind of narrative they're perpetuating. And I feel like that's one of the reasons that we started this podcast, was because so often we're taught to, like, nod along. Like, when we see a show, like Rami or another show with a Muslim person in there, like Grey's Anatomy brings a hijabi, and we're taught to be like, yes, like good job and clap for them. But at the end of the day, that's not necessarily the narrative that you need to be nodding along to. Like, you decide that. And the reason I feel like we created this podcast was so that we could write our own narrative and like reclaim our narrative as Muslims and say something that was true to us and true to our beliefs without compromising on them or being afraid of them.
Mm-hmm. And also, I feel like as humans, we're taught to like kind of be afraid of disagreeing with someone, because it brings up like these negative feelings between you and a person. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case. You don't have to agree with everything someone does to be good friends or to be like a nice person too. Like, you can do, like, just be true to you. And also, yeah, I agree. This is why we started this podcast. Like, we're writing what we think is correct and like what we agree with. And there's a lot of you that might not agree with us, and that's totally okay. And that's why we're always like, yeah, we have our DMs open. Let us know what you think about these episodes, because we also want to get you guys' perspective to see if we did miss out on something or if there's like another way to look at different topics and like aspects of what we're talking about. And that's why we really love hearing from all of you guys and just like talking to you through our DMs. And especially for this episode, we would really love for you guys to talk to us through DMs or whatever platform and let us know what you guys thought about this episode.
So yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Remember to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Real Talk Real Muslims, and to share and discuss this episode and these ideas with your friends and your family, and to have productive conversations from these episodes. And you can also check out our full video episodes recorded and uploaded to our YouTube channel, Real Talk Real Muslims. And we're laughing because it's a real struggle to video record yourself and podcast, but we're doing it. And give us any feedback about this episode by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, DMing us on social media, or emailing us at realtalkrealmuslims@gmail.com.
That's Real Talk Real Muslims for you.
Bye!